whole thing. The weather, of course, 10 degrees centigrade is the high today, 6 degrees centigrade the low. Mostly cloudy throughout the day, but it will be getting wet later on with further areas of heavy rain or showers moving in from the east. It'll be rather chilly. Yes, just in case you're actually wondering about that identity, I was so impressed with the sort of fact that, yes, the gentleman actually did it in one take.
Hello, my name's Martin Fish. I'm the show director of the North of England Horticultural Society, and you're listening to Midweek Drive.
Excellent. We can listen to that all day, can't we, Martin? How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Excellent. Well, here we are again, the unbelievable, the 2012 Harrogate Spring Flower Show, the perfect air for all garden lovers, and more effectively, is there the Harrogate Flower Shows, and now the UK's biggest independent gardening events. 100,000 visitors each year. 2012 show, 26th to 29th of April. It just gets better and better. I mean, what, you've clearly got the magic touch when it comes to directing the show, Martin.
Well, I don't know about the magic touch, but I like to think that, you know, what we deliver is what the public want. You know, we're a gardening show, and the first and foremost, the content of the show, we want to be gardening. So if people are just getting into gardening, or whether they've gardened all their life, we'd like to think that there's something that will interest them when they come along to the shows. Other shows, without naming any, because of times of hard times, have probably diversified and done other things. But we've taken the policy here at Harrogate that, although we're called a flower show, we're actually a gardening show. We cover all aspects of gardening. That is what we're about as a charity. We're about to promote gardening and horticulture, so we make sure that the shows stick as near to that as possible.
It covers 22 acres, so there's quite a lot to actually see in terms of the ground itself. And I also see you're offering a VIP hospitality service with a Bucks Fizz reception, which can't be bad, really, from that point of view.
No, that's right. Anything to get a glass of champagne. I mean, that's new this year, and it came about because one or two people had sort of mentioned to us they love coming to the show, but, you know, they would like to make it a really special occasion.
Yep.
And so we've this year introduced the VIP service, which basically means that they park right next to the President's Marquee in the showground, so they've got privileged on-site parking. They get the catalogues in advance. They've got a hospitality marquee, which is for their sole use. It's got private toilets and a cloakroom facility, and they get the coffee when they arrive in the morning. Somebody will talk to them about the show to give them a view of what's happening, and then they get their Bucks Fizz reception at lunchtime, a lovely sit-down three-course silver service meal, and they can sit and relax in the lounge whenever they want. So it's just to make that really special occasion for people, and so far it's been very successful. We've sold lots of tickets for it, so it's something we want to build on in the future.
Indeed. Now, as I've mentioned to you before, Martin, I would not consider myself to be in any way, shape or form green-fingered or a gardener. I mean, I have a spider plant, but that's hardly a sort of giant sort of leap forward for the whole thing. But I am very impressed at the enthusiasm and the drive and the dynamism of the exhibitors, whether it's floral arrangers, whether it's a case of folk dry stone walling, whatever the whole system there. And, of course, we've presumably got the Bourbon Street roof raisers as well performing in their own magical way from that point of view. So, I mean, there's lots of things to work through. In the studio, we have Dr. David Cobham, head of computer science. Gardening, is this something you have a fondness for? Is it a case of, no, I'd like to get somebody in to do that for me?
I'm sort of grappling with whether or not to ask about how I get rid of the moss on my lawn, but perhaps we'll keep that one for later.
Martin's
on.
Martin's very accommodating. He knows his stuff.
But to focus on the show for a minute, we're in the studio just flicking through the brochure, which looks absolutely fantastic. And particularly, it has a very interactive feel to it. There's the sort of have-a-go nature to a lot of the events. I guess that's something that you're looking for. It's not just come and see, come and look, but it's actually come and get involved as well.
Absolutely, yes, you're dead right, David. I mean, my background is practical horticulture, and one of the things, it's always been a good show, the Harrogate Flower Show, but one of the things I felt was missing was this interaction where the public can get involved. So we do it at various levels. You know, you can have a go. You can have a go at laying turf. You can have a go at laying out a border and planting, all undercover as well. And, you know, there's even dry stone walling, and we've got the cookery theatre where people can't have a go, but they can watch. We've got the Kitchen Garden Live, which is very interactive with some of the speakers. We've got areas where people can ask questions either on a one-to-one basis, or they can ask it as part of an audience. And the whole idea is that I want people to be able to come along to the show, and if they've got any queries, any problems in the garden, hopefully by the time they go away, they've got an answer and they know how to rectify it or go home and do it in the garden.
That's great, and I imagine a lot of people probably go away with all sorts of goodies that they've bought. Is it one of these events where it's a good idea to come along with a big bag to to take your souvenirs away?
Absolutely, yes. Lots of money. We want you to bring lots of money in a big bag. yes, I mean, we're very lucky that we're the first big show of the season. And so it's the first outing for most of our nurseries. There'll be 100 nurseries here, specialist nurseries from all over the UK, all growing different types of plants. So it is, you know, very much a plant buyer's paradise at the show.
Does that pose some particular problems? Because obviously you're kind of early in the year in terms of, you know, we're still, well, has spring been and gone yet? I'm not sure.
It can do. I mean, certainly last year was more of a problem because we had such a hard winter and lots of people lost stock over the winter, even people that grow it under glass. That this year, I think the problem was that we got that very warm weather in March, so everything started into growth, and then it suddenly stopped. So the people have to time their plants because, you know, they're putting on displays of flowers or flowering plants or whatever. They've got to be at their peak because they're all being judged. There's prize money at stake for them. You know, they can win £500 if they get you know, a first prize. So it's there's a lot at stake here. So they juggle the plants basically. Sometimes they'll keep them cool in refrigerators to hold them back if they're growing too fast. If they're growing slow, they'll put lights over them and extra heat to try and bring them on, so that the growers that do this are, you know, very clever and skillful in manipulating the plants so that they're peak of perfection for the show.
And a lot of technology now, I guess, as well, in terms of timing of watering devices and all that sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's quite a technical. It's not just a case of sticking something in a plant pot anymore. It has become very technical.
And just hypothetically speaking, you know, if somebody had not done very much with their lawn for sort of 8, 9, 10 years and only cut it, and it was getting a bit overcome by moss, is it rescuable, do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, moss is a problem in lots of lawns. I mean, moss likes damp soil, and often a neglected lawn is going to have more moss in than one that's been manicured. The first thing you need to do is hypothetically for this person that might have a problem with moss in their lawn is to kill the moss, and the best way and the simplest way is to use lawn sand, which is basically a washed sand, and it carries in it iron sulfate, and the iron sulfate is the active ingredient that actually is the business. You put the lawn sand on very, very thinly on your lawn, and the iron sulfate kills the moss, turns it black within about a week, and then you've got the hard job of raking it out. Once you've got rid of the moss, that the moss is dead and it's gone, then the grass has a much better chance to thicken up and recover and hopefully grow into the spaces where the moss has been in the past. So now is a perfect time to do it. You need a dry day, though, so probably not today.
Good. I'll pass that information on to whoever might be interested.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it'll be available to download as a podcast so that the friend can actually obviously access the details from that point of view. So there's marvellous stuff there. Hannah, thoughts of yourself?
Martin, what's your kind of favourite kind of gardening? Do you prefer kind of more ornamental flowers, or do you like vegetables and...
I'm both, really. I mean, I trained on the ornamental side, decorative and amenity horticulture, which is basically parks department. So I trained in glasshouses where we grew all the lovely cut flowers and the pot plants, and then worked on parks. So that was my initial training. And then I diversified and went into the commercial side, which was nursery work, and that included some protected vegetables, you know, under cover. So I've sort of done both. So my job now is... as show director, I don't get involved daily with gardening and horticulture because I'm sort of planning the shows. So it's almost, even though it's what I've done from being 16 when I left school as a job, it's now almost become a hobby, the gardening side. I've got half an acre where I live, and I've developed a garden there that's got an orchard and an ornamental garden and a fruit garden and a big greenhouse. So that is my sort of my fix of gardening. I don't go out and garden on a daily basis anymore, but I'm an all-rounder, but I love the practical side of gardening, and I love propagation. That has always been one of my loves. I love being able to take a plant and turn it into 5, 10, 15 new plants from that one original one. I think that it still fascinates me after all these years of gardening.
It's a whole new world. The web address is www.flowershow.org.uk if you want to find out more about the splendid Harrogate flower shows, both spring and autumn. Obviously, we're looking at the spring one for this particular area. If you turn up on the day, £16 at the gate, that's for the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, £14 for Sunday. And also, just going back to one of the points you made, David, if you do come along and you have bags and various other bits and pieces, you have these various trolleys. I often think that sometimes there are folk who get a bit carried away with those trolleys, and they go all over the place. It's a manic... you always need to have a system to kind of just make sure that the trolley sort of works through, particularly when the final bargain plants are actually sorted through for that. However, good news, under 16s free, car parking free, so great news from that point of view. If you want to go and avail yourself of the VIP treatment, I thought there was a decimal point here actually, £99 per person.
Yes,
not
it is.
£990.
No, it would be nice, wouldn't it? £99 per person, and you know, they get their money's worth because they get fed and watered and everything there. So it's so yes, we've still got a few tickets left if anybody wants.
That's good. So that's the VIP thing. Otherwise, as we mentioned, £16 for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and it's just a splendid day in every sense of the word. I'm certainly looking forward to hopefully catching up with you again and doing our usual annual piece. We must get another, so we must do a little jingle for some of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition things next time around. And as I say, genuinely did it in one take. You know, amazed even the Pupillas. I mean, Camilla thought, it's amazing. He's done it in one take. It's fantastic. Anyway, thanks to Camilla and the rest of the team. Last two questions for Martin Fish. Please, Hannah.
Martin, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us?
I have, yes. My telephonic link with you is always interesting. It's probably the most interesting interview I do of the year. So it's one I look forward to. It's always one that's enjoyable.
There you go.
Can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future?
Absolutely, yes. You can connect any time you like.
Oh, there we are, you see. And when a person who specialises in propagating plants talks about that and gives you that as a strap line, you realise it's all gone splendidly.
Click his fingers.
Tell me why. What happened to romance? Would you like to dance? What happened to romance?
Not quite sure whether that's a rhetorical question. Perhaps we'll ask her when she joins us in a few moments' time. Rebecca Poole, of course, another selection there from her oeuvre. What happened to romance? We were almost going to say, what has happened to Adrian Johnston, the Chief Executive Officer of the fabulous Newark and Nottinghamshire Agricultural Society? Hopefully we can say it's OK. Adrian Johnston is with us now. Are you there, Adrian?
I am, sir.
Oh, as David Common actually just said, our head of computer science here at the University of Lincoln, flying by the seat of our pants. I think, yes, we'll just sort our way through that whole process. Here we go through to the original switchboard line, leave voicemail there, go back to switchboard. And they do actually, to be fair, they look after Adrian at the Newark and Nottinghamshire Showground because it's sometimes easy to get an audience with the Pope. But never mind. It's important. You've got a fine team there of almost Rottweiler-like folk, which is wonderful. Which radio station is it? Who's? Where? When? What's coming through? How are you, sir, anyway?
I'm
good to
fine.
Connect
Thank
with you,
you
as ever.
Thank you very much, Alex, and looking forward to this year's county show. Bags of things for people to come and see, and really looking forward to it.
Well, precisely, and it is, as we regularly say, the show that launches the county show season. Hopefully, Hannah O'Brien, it'll be your first ever Newark and Nottinghamshire county show.
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, exactly. That's exciting things.
Well, I do hope you come and enjoy it.
Well, precisely. I know Wendy Peckham, who's doing wonderful work with respect to the press thing, she's already availed herself of the services of several journalistic students who'll be acting as press students, press stewards, I think, for the day. Helping with accounts and various other bits and pieces. So John Fernandez, I think another folk from the area will be there. However, we've just done a little piece with the show director for the Harrogate Spring Flower Show. We move after the April gig of Harrogate, obviously onto yourself in the second week in May, I believe, 12th and the 13th of May.
Absolutely right, Alex. It's on the 12th and 13th of May, Saturday and Sunday.
Yep, so these are the crucial things from that point of view. And I'm already looking at some of the events that are actually there. Actually, just David Cobham, have you ever seen or have you been to the Newark and Nottingham show?
I have to confess I haven't done that. No.
Well, you know, it is a treat personified. So, Adrian, share with us what marvellous things have we got to look forward to this year?
Well, as you know, Alex, from long and our support, one of the things that we are renowned for is that we have absolutely superb cattle, sheep, pig and horse classes. We have the cream of the national show jumpers come here. They either go here or they go to Royal Windsor or they go to an international competition at La Baule in France. But no plugging them. If they're not there, then they'll be here. So do come and see them. Hundreds of trade stands. We've got an excellent main ring program. This year we have an innovative south ring program so that if there's something quiet and sedate like the magnificent display of heavy horses in the main ring, then you can see something a bit more packed with action going on in the South Ring, just about 100 metres away, and there are various things there going on. We've got an inter-hunt relay, we've got dog agility, we've got a magnificent new food experience area, and we're really determined to push the food. I mean, as you know, there's lots of good food products from around our area, and nationally, a lot of people aren't aware that Stilton cheese, of course, originated from Nottinghamshire. Just to quote but one, but plenty of things to come and see. And in the main ring, we've got J.C. Ball's Dancing Diggers, we've got the Quad Bike Stunt Show, in addition to some of the more traditional agricultural shows. Activities that we're known for.
It's just a wonder upon wonder. I have to admit, though, that one of the things that has caught my eye from this year's programme is Cyril the Squirrel Terrier Racing. Now, I mean, what's not to love when you have... I mean, I just feel we could almost set up a postgraduate programme in Cyril the Squirrel Terrier Racing. You know, must have a sort of routine. What's happening with Cyril? I mean, is Cyril kind of like a stunt squirrel? Is he a real...
Yes, he's a stunt squirrel. We have actually got a pet dog competition and as well as this dog agility competition going on. So, you know, things like that are really great for the kids to come and see. That's amongst lots and lots of sport activities this year. And we're delighted that we've got some Notts Forest players actually coming. We've got the County Council, City Council Experience Nottinghamshire, who are the Tourism Authority, coming along. But cricket... you know, loads and loads of things there for people to come and see. 2 days of tug of war. The armed services, despite their many commitments, today, sadly, I've heard that they can't actually afford to have a homecoming parade for our own county regiment through Newark, which is a shame on somebody somewhere. But nevertheless, moving back to the show, they will be here. We've got, as you know, loads of vintage and classic cars, farming heritage area. There are quite a few good stands, both in the food experience and around the site, where kids can actually come and take things like a handful of wheat and grind it into flour, and then actually cook something with it. Previous years, we've had them cook bread or even make scones. And King Alfred has visited here because they actually were burnt, I'm afraid to say, in one or two instances. But hey-ho, that's all part of the fun of the news.
It's combining history as well from that
point
of view.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
The great thing about the Newark and Nottinghamshire Agricultural Society in general, it is obviously a registered charity. It supports a range of things. And I know we're not going to talk about this specifically today, but James Barclay, one of our regular contributors and indeed a Lincolnshire farmer who's just established a city farm in Nottinghamshire, I know has sort of kept you appraised of the things and the great things he's doing in terms of educating. And that's the thing I've always said with respect, you know, that's that balance between how do we get our food, how do we sustain ourselves, all of that balance between urban and rural life.
Yeah, I think that educating the public is a really, really important part of an agricultural show. And that actually is one of the reasons why we, at this early stage of the agricultural show's calendar, are on a weekend. If we were actually in the middle of the week during this stage of the year, I'm afraid the majority of our youth wouldn't we be able or inclined to come because they'd be busy revising for all of their exams.
I think you're absolutely right in terms of that. It's probably one of the few shows that can do its business on a weekend and coordinate with respect to that, as opposed to, we were talking earlier in the year with your counterparts actually at Lincoln, of course, Jane Southall, and at Yorkshire, Fabius Nigel Pulling, and clearly both those shows are staying in the middle of the week because that's traditionally where they've actually been based. Whereas I think Newark and Notts, it's scheduled, so it does actually work on a weekend.
It is, and they are, of course, later in the actual calendar, so yep. That people have, in fact, taken their exams and they're able to then attend these sort of things. But going around the actual showground, there will be plenty of signs for, you know, helping people to actually understand and learn something, and that's something we'll be putting a lot of effort into
in the
future.
Of course, there are always our audio diaries, as you know. You can download them as podcasts, and they're there as part of the whole package that we do.
That, That is true, and we will actually be hoping to do something on that score with you, Alex. That would be super.
We'll progress. David, any questions from the computer science perspective?
Well, yeah, we've had some very interesting work at the university recently that's brought the computer science area together, both with our colleagues at the Rise Home campus, where we deliver agricultural programmes, and further afield. So interesting systems we've been developing to detect blight on potatoes, for example, as they go down production lines. We use computer technology to take images and detect, and then the faulty spuds are pushed off the line as they go down. So that was interesting.
Don't worry, they can go and take part in the Gary Lineker advert, I've heard.
There's always a home. There's always a home somewhere. But also, I mean, you mentioned the sort of agricultural machinery and vehicles, and again, you know, this whole development with GPS technology where you can control your tractors so they go up and down and you don't miss a sort of square centimetre of land. So lots of technology. And again, for me, when I come to these shows, perhaps it's a bit nerdy, but I do like looking at the agricultural equipment and seeing the sort of science behind agriculture as well.
It's become a fascination in itself, certainly the New York and Notts Vintage Tractor Show and the other part of the autumn time is phenomenal.
Well, I think one of the most important shows that we actually host here at New York on that score is, of course, the Llama Show in January. We're hoping that we've got a demonstration this year, Harvesting Through the Ages, and we're hoping to actually start with literally people pushing hand-pushed equipment through to working heavy horses, doing it through to modern combines. The impact of technology on agriculture has been absolutely huge. It's actually almost been a second agricultural revolution in terms of allowing us to grow such fantastic amounts in a relatively small space such as our aisles. I'm sure that there will be equipment here that's actually demonstrating that, and hope that you are able to come along and see it.
Very much so. Now, Hannah, you originally come from Gloucester, an area of the country which likes its rain, has its nice scenario, other sort of routines. As I said, you know, you needn't worry. Once those words hose pipe ban were uttered, we were all right. You know, it'll take the drought parries away. It's going to just it'll be wonderfully precipitous around the whole base, etc. But Hannah, any questions that you'd like to put to Adrian about the show, what you should be looking for, and all the rest of bits and bobs?
Yes, Adrian, what's top of your list events-wise to go and see?
Well, one I have to say, it's only an innovation, but I really enjoy the farriery competition. We've had it for a couple of years, and seeing about six or seven guys actually in action hammering out horseshoes, and actually, you know, just the blood, the sweat, the tears, the adrenaline, the hammering away and whatnot. It really is a show within it.
I feel the same when I mark my dissertations or mark my students' dissertations. We're the sweat that's pouring out as we're working through the whole process. It's amazing.
I'm sure the smell of burning won't be quite so prevalent, though, Alex.
I don't know. I haven't seen some of the dissertations I've had to look at, but there we are.
Yeah. I mean, other things, the Flower and Floral Art Show, we've got a magnificent guy who comes most years, who actually is in the sheep show, and he brings along a variety of sheep and extols about their particular virtues, whether they're for meat or wool or whatnot. And that itself is really, really entertaining. But I think the other thing is the countryside area. I like that. I like all of the activities going on around there, demonstrating traditional rural crafts. And then seeing a few rabbits and poultry and the like around here, because small holding has very much taken off, and that's something again that we'll be pushing in future years. The NFU have been extremely good on that. The young farmers, of course, are here, and they've actually got quite a few things going on. But if you want to put your feet up, then go and sit in the Notts Women's Institute, or even better, one of our own areas to actually have a cup of tea and a slice of cake, or something even more in the Cedric Ford Pavilion. You can get a full silver service meal at the height of the show, and that's just by the main ring, overlooking it. So there's bags to come and see and do.
And indeed, of course, as reporters, we'll be looking to cover that, plus a whole heap of other sort of goodies as well from that point of view. Adrian, it's been absolutely splendid as ever getting a little taste of the show. Of course, quick reminder, www.newarkshowground.com will actually take you presumably to the show itself. Is there another website
That's right. No, newarkshowground.com is the one. You can buy tickets in advance on that. You can buy memberships on that, of course, which entitles you to come to both days of the show and to the Vintage Tractor Show. And we actually set the ball rolling some years ago by taking the decision to allow under 17s to come free to our show. We also allow parking free of charge. We don't charge, unlike other shows, for a seat by the grand, by the main ring, and we don't charge for the additional entrance to the flower show. So camping is available if you want tickets in advance for adults, £12, over 65s, £8. And they go up on the day. So if you want to come along and have a good time, book your tickets at www.newarkshowground.com.
Splendid. So the last two questions for Adrian are as ever, Hannah.
Hi, Adrian. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
I have. Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to have a chat with you.
And can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future?
You certainly can. I'd be delighted.
Yes, Adrian Johnston, he will return. A little bit worried early in the earth. Where's he going to go? What's happening? Yes, Adrian Johnston, back in full force. Adrian, we salute you.
Thank you very much indeed, and look forward to seeing you all at the show.
Arguably, in betwixt Sarah Bullimore, obviously from Cultural Solutions, talking about the Lyric Lounge, Richard Fitzwilliams talking about his trip to New York and various art exhibitions around the globe, in fact. Ian Lennox, of course, our Ace Tynties executive and now author. And, of course, Martin Fish, the show director for the North of England Horticultural Society show, and Adrian Johnston, chief executive officer of the Newark and Nottinghamshire Agricultural Shows. You could say we've been weaving in what can possibly best be defined as Rebecca Poole Day. You know, quite literally, you know, we will all follow your heart. What happened to romance? There we had In My Head Again, which was something I actually purchased. Rare for me, indeed. Purchased, downloaded it from that well-known internet sort of site that is a big river in South America. Wonderful, etc. And so, accordingly, we have to say Rebecca Poole, legendary artist and jazz singer-songwriter extraordinaire, about to make your Midweek Drive debut. Are you there?
Hello, yes. What an introduction.
Listen, last night, we've already seen the photographs on your Facebook page. You were in the studio doing a wonderful back-to-back with your producer, Gavin, there, which I thought was extraordinary on that basis.
That's great.
And you're working there until what time?
Oh, about 2 o'clock.
This morning.
In the morning. Yeah,
exactly. And there, woof, she is half nine. We did offer the role of a Wednesday night sort of show. She said, well, I'll be performing then, basically. So it's all right. We'll go to the morning. It's all sorted through there. Or in the studios. So
it's okay. I have good old English breakfast tea.
Marvellous.
I'm raring to go.
That's very good indeed. You already heard the response from Sarah Gayton, one of our Staffordshire correspondents and a passionate believer in Farmers on Film feeding the Olympic dream, or indeed Farmers on Film on tour, Fofot, as we said last week. She's taken certainly Follow Your Heart as an inspiration. In the studio we have musician and head of the School of Computer Sciences, Dr. David Cobham. David?
Bless you for putting them in that order, Alex.
Yeah. Exactly. It was important to sort of work through that perspective, because you've been finding out a bit more about Rebecca. Your thoughts on what we've heard so far?
Oh, well, good morning, Rebecca. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm very well. And you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. And obviously, knowing that you were going to be on the show, I did have a look at the website and listen to some of your music, and I really enjoyed it, I've got to say.
Thank you.
And obviously, it spans a kind of nostalgic feel, a kind Absolutely. Of sort of 40s feel, but also we've heard, you know, just now, much more contemporary. So, yeah, what sort of songs do you enjoy singing the most? Where do you feel most comfortable?
Well, I think ever since I heard Nina Simone in my sort of early teens, I just fell in love with jazz. And I think, you know, hearing Ella Fitzgerald and Julie London, Peggy Lee, I just sort of fell into that sort of, I don't want to say croony, but sort of a smoky delivery.
Smoky, but without the cancerous overviews of that sort of scenario. Exactly. None of these free radicals. It's important stuff from that point of view. Smoke-free zone, always, you know?
I guess one of the challenges there is if you go back to the sort of more nostalgic era, you're perhaps looking at maybe big bands or certainly larger groups of musicians supporting that kind of thing, which again does cause challenges when you're out on the road and you're trying to put the gigs together. But equally, I'm listening to a lot of your more recent or other music. It's got a much more electronic sort of aspect to it. It's a much more contemporary thing there.
So we're just trying to negotiate.
We do like to keep it organic when when I'm performing. I'm very lucky to be able to sing with the band at Ronnie Scott's, James Pearson, who's the musical director there, house pianist. I sing with them, so we do have the, you know, the true music, as it were.
Because we've always got the technology to rescue us in other situations.
Absolutely. And I just think we're obviously looking to negotiate in terms of, you know, can we actually book Rebecca to actually perform one of our Friday night jazz scenarios? Because I think we should, shouldn't we? Commuter jazz festivals that we have.
Every Friday we have a commuter jazz, so it's the end of the working week. It would be fantastic if you could come and entertain us on one of those sessions. Absolutely.
I'd be delighted.
I think we'll get, I mean, after all, Lincoln is not too far away from London, technically 126 miles, but that's okay. You know, I'm sure she could jog it. It's not very important from that sort of point of view.
Okay, that's hosted in our LPAC Performing Arts Centre, but we do it in the sort of canteen area. So again, you've got that canteen jazz feel, which I think it lends itself to that kind of music, I think.
Yeah. Hannah, you were particularly impressed with that. I said the video for Follow Your Heart is just, I mean, what's not to love? You know, it's lots of firemen. Well, actually, I'll rephrase that. It sounds very strange on that particular point of view, but you have all sorts of people sort of following their heart in many ways, really, which I thought was wonderful. Your thoughts for Rebecca?
Well, I love your music, Rebecca. I was just wondering, I'm not very musical myself, but do you play any instruments?
I play the guitar, yes. A lot of my songs actually come from, I tend to be driving along and then I'll just be in a certain mood and think of everything I want to say. It all comes out at once and the melody's in my head, and then I go home and I put the chords to it. It's a funny way round for that for the process to happen, but that's usually the case. But no, I've written quite a few songs on my guitar.
Last night, of course, we were featuring Tallulah Rendell, who's now based in Berlin, although she hasn't, you know, she's still sort of with us in Britain, which is nice from that point of view. We're going to talk about that collaborative things, a whole heap of other sort of goodies, including the next album that's coming through. But your Mirror Mastered is the one that seems to be lined up at present, Rebecca. Would you like to...
Can I correct you there? Sorry. it's actually, I know I sent it through, but it's just the mastered version. It's called Look Into Your Mirror.
That's very important. You see, crucial, because otherwise those performing rights people, Lord above, we could, you know, we'd change that automatically from that sort of point of view. So it's looking to you. Okay, we're not talking a scary Snow White and the Seven Dwarves Mirror Mirror on the Wall here, or are we?
Yes. We are.
We are.
It's actually a song about a narcissist.
Yes, yeah. It's always nice. You see, you can tell that Rebecca Poole is a cut above your average musician when she comes up with a phrase like narcissist.
Oh, no.
using a polysyllabic at this time
it's
in the morning.
It's a bit early for that sort of word, isn't it?
Slipped in nicely. You know, that's why Lisa McAllister's such a big fan. You know, I can see. She's sort of clear on that basis.
Well, you know, I think, you know, we're affected by all sorts of things. That's what writing music's all about. So,
okay,
yeah,
then.
It's not as... innocent and joyful as Follow Your Heart, but
no, it's got a bit of it's got texture, it's got levels, it's got a range of other things. Rebecca, I'm going to ask you to introduce the whole piece yourself, so away you go.
Well, I hope you enjoy this new song, which will be released in June, called Look Into Your Mirror.
So, crucial time now. Hannah O'Brien, what did you make of Look Into Your Mirror?
I really liked it, actually. I thought it was quite different to the other stuff that I've heard of yours, Rebecca.
Yeah, different, yeah. But special from my point of view.
And very nice.
Yeah. David?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that as well, Rebecca. Yeah.
A question about one of the instruments?
Oh, I don't know. We were just discussing here. Was it a clarinet, or there was certainly a woodwind instrument?
Absolutely, yes. There's a clarinet. A lovely clarinetist came in to play that for me, yeah.
And do you get a chance to get involved in that sort of aspect of the mixing of the track and the technical side of it?
I do. I'm very bossy.
And do you enjoy the technology side of it? I mean, obviously, there's all sorts of tricks and wizardry that we can do these days.
Yes. I mean, it's incredible what you can do now. But I tend to leave that to my friends who are the experts and sort of tell... I sort of hear... noises in my head and say, can you do the bass like this? Dum, dum, dum,
and then copy. And I'm shamelessly weaving the technological theme into the whole
I'm
of the story.
I'm very impressed, though. It's very good.
I think
that's
I've been rumbled by now. Tomorrow I'm off to a local RAF base. We've got a new programme that we're delivering in conjunction with the RAF. And I noticed on your website that you've got some photographs taken where you've done a photo shoot there with the RAF. How did that come about?
Well, a week ago, I've written a single, a charity single for Help for Heroes, and we went into RAF Northolt to record with the Essential Band there. They very kindly said that they would perform the song, so we've recorded it. We were mixing it yesterday, and hopefully releasing that along with the video in about a month.
What was that? What was the experience of singing with a military band like compared to the perhaps the usual musicians?
Oh, it's wonderful, honestly.
What are you saying, David? You're suggesting that usual musicians aren't sort of drilled to perfection in terms of, right, one, two, three, let's get this sorted out now. Call yourself a musician.
I clearly remember, I have a lovely memory of James from Ronnie Scott saying to the drummer, can you just groove a little bit. And as soon as you tell them, but yes, they're very regimented in everything that they do.
Well, as long as they didn't have anybody sort of say, right, drop and give me 50, you know.
No, I wouldn't have known what to do with that.
Rightly so too. Hannah, thoughts or questions for yourself?
Rebecca, what kind of gives you the inspiration for your songs?
Everything, everyday life. If I feel very strongly about something, generally, you know, it's, I think, mainly love and loss would be the main...
Could almost be the theme for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Oh, maybe not. I don't know. Just a different line on that point of view. Well, again, splendid stuff. I'm just sort of thinking, obviously, you've done the RAF. Clearly, it's only a matter of time before she heads up to do RAF Scampton, which is a scenario that. You know, a tour of the RAF bases.
I work my way around.
Yeah. And any other sort of partnerships? Are there people that you'd like to perform with, or have you got ambitions to do?
The Navy, you know, possibly. the Army.
But other musicians that you
I'm
admire?
I'm speaking to the troops at the moment. I don't know, that's a really good question. I think Paolo Nutini, actually, is a fantastic artist. I love what he's doing. That's someone that I would love to co-write with.
Because you obviously spend a lot of time thinking about the harmonising in your own songs. I guess it's one thing sort of recording your own voice multiple times and getting effects, and then you sing with other singers and have to blend and work with them. I guess that's a different situation, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm very used to working on songs, you know, alone, and then sort of going and working on the arrangements for them. So, it would be... it would be enjoyable to, you know, sort of join together with other people. But I'm sure these opportunities will come up, will rise as I go along this
Everything
year.
Will manifest itself in its own routine. Mentioned to Lila Rendler, she actually started off by doing a degree in English, I think, at Manchester University, and then followed her heart.